Relevant content for our members, by our members. This is TMC Connect.
You can go ahead and roll it. That's okay.
So Faith, I feel like that shirt will be a great shirt for 12 days too.
Yeah.
Oh, believe.
I love it. Believe. Believe in yourself and be you. My motto this week. Well, always, probably. thanks everyone for joining. As everyone kind of rolls in here, we are waiting for our other participant, our other host to hop in on the call today. I know they're trying to get in. So there he is. I was just talking about you. Were your ears burning? Oh, you're on mute. There we go. I can hear you now. Thanks for joining us as we kind of get going here. Well, number one, today, just for everybody on the call and those joining the call, I'm going to ask for some audience participation in a very fun way today. So I want you to be ready to pop answers into the chat as we get a little bit further into the show. And today I have with me, number one, this is the last week in mortgage today. I'm Faith Howard Mooney from the Mortgage Collaborative, and Russ Pulliam, the SVP of Mortgage Services from First Bank Texas, is with me today. I appreciate you being here.
I have my Dr. Pepper from Whataburger since I'm from Texas and looking forward to the engaging conversation, Faith.
I didn't realize that Whataburger was a Texas.
Oh, yeah. I mean, watch your words. Those are fighting words there, Faith. It is Texas. Yes.
West Coast, but for some reason, I had it in a different large state on the West Coast in air. I am set straight now, though. I know. And now I feel like I need to have one because it
absolutely
makes me hungry. Jessica Sense loves Whataburger, too. So you're in good company. You're in good company. Well, let's get started a little bit. Number one, I would love it if you would just share a little bit about First Bank Texas.
Sure. So First Bank Texas has got one of the oldest national we're one of the oldest nationally chartered banks in the country. And previously, they had tried mortgage and the outcome wasn't positive a little over 2.5 years ago. I came on board. We didn't have an LOS, a POS, a PPE. We actually just started our first loan was originated in September of 2021. So we just hit like our 2-year anniversary. We're 2 years old in the mortgage world for originating loans. And what a time to start doing that, right? So, we've done really well. We've been very blessed and fortunate. We have year over year growth. So I'm knocking on wood, and we've been profitable both last year and this year. So some accomplishments in this environment for sure. And our team is phenomenal. The culture here, it's not a me thing. It's a we thing. The team has really come together, and we have something really special.
Love that. And when you started that venture, you reached out to us, and we had no doubt that you would have great success. So we're glad that you came back into network when you were investigating a lot of those things going on. Hopefully we made your lives a little bit easier.
Absolutely.
You're also with us at our conference. So we're going to talk about last week a little bit. We'll talk about what's in the news, but we're going to talk just a little bit about our conference last week. It was in Nashville. You were there with us. I would love it if you would just for those that maybe haven't attended a conference or haven't attended a conference for a while, who are maybe listening in to get a taste of what the Mortgage Collaborative is, I would love it if you would just share kind of like your biggest takeaway or, you know, one of the biggest things that you think you left there with that will help you in your business.
So interesting enough, and I don't know if I was telling you or Ash this on the last day. Previously I had been with the collaborative with another institution, and it was an easy choice coming back once I joined First Bank Texas. for many reasons, including the team at the Mortgage Collaborative. But during all of those conferences that I attended previously, I had never done the Collab Labs.
Oh, okay.
And so this was the first time that I'd gone out, got there late Friday night, early Saturday morning, however you want to say it, and attended the Collab Labs on Saturday. And what an, I kicked myself in the behind, to be honest with you, for not having done it in the past, because honestly, for me, that Saturday was probably the best day out of all, and not that there hasn't been value in the past with the conferences, because, and I'm not trying to diminish that whatsoever, but the value in the Collab Labs was just incredible. And, you know, people like Stan Forker, and I could go on and on with all the names of the people in there, but lots of value. And I highly suggest that if you're going to take the investment and time to do a conference, make sure that you do the Collab Lab.
Much for that, but it's really because of people like Stan and other people that were in that group,
right,
that make that such a success. I mean, collaborative is in our name for a reason, but it's always nice to, when, you know, it happens and people kind of see that light bulb go off and take away great things from our conference and our Collab Lab group. So we appreciate you being with us. It's always fun to be in person and with the people that we care about the most. And so appreciate the fact that you did take the time to do that. So while we were there, there was like, we're going to take every little glimmer of positive silver lining that we can in anything that we do, because I think that that's one of the things from conference that I feel like, you know, a lot of people in their daily lives don't have a lot of those positives right now. It's a very difficult time to be in the mortgage industry. And some of us have definitely lived through them before, but this one seems to be a little bit different. August, new home listings up 4%. Kind of unexpected.
Really unexpected.
Yeah, still below pre-pandemic numbers. But why do you think August? I mean, any thought in your mind, like why there was that little tick up?
I think probably some pent-up demand for people wanting to sell their home, realizing the equity and moving. You know, the summer's over with, people have taken new jobs. Maybe they were kind of holding out, waiting, you know, to see if the rates would fall. Of course, they've been stable, so no luck in that area for any of us. But I think that there's a pent up demand, and you know, folks going back to school and needing to move, taking on new jobs. You know, a lot of businesses, from what I'm to understand, are you know, taking away that remote opportunity and bringing people back into the offices. So some difficult decisions are having to be made about that and where you're going to live. So I think maybe just a combination of all of that took place. And hence, August happened, and we certainly enjoyed the uptick for sure.
Yeah, I think that, so I kind of saw it in a very similar way. Early on in my career, I was in a relocation division. That's actually how I started in mortgage. And our busiest month of the year, there were two of them, and they were really kind of unusual. One was August, always, and one was January, December and January. And the December and January was getting kids into a school environment before the new semester started. Right. And the August was having to have a actual address to get kids started in school.
Sure.
Lots of environments, like in Minnesota, we don't start school until after Labor Day. And so August ended up being like a big pivotal month for us back then. It's changed a little bit since then. That was a long time ago, but I kind of saw things as the same. I'm hoping I'm not right, though, because I'm hoping that we continue to see that little 4%. I'm going to remain positive that we're going to see that 4% uptick going on. While I was reading this article about mortgage applications, there was a new phrase in there, which I always love to pick up, the new phrase or the new acronym that people are using. And it was inventory desert. Which I thought was kind of funny that we've gotten to the point that we're calling our, you know, our supply issue an inventory desert. So I thought I would just throw that out to everybody on the call. If you've heard other, you know, terms, funny terms related to that, of course, pop those in the chat. I always love to hear, you know, how things are being discussed out there. And then we've turned here anyway. Amy Bohr and I were just talking before this call started. We've turned to fall already. It was 54 degrees yesterday morning when I took my son to school at 8 a.m. And so the days are numbered where it's going to be that nice. Erin D., I'd swap with you any day, girl.
I agree with Erin D. here, Faith. It has been miserable here. I think Erin's down there in the Austin area. I imagine that they're miserable down there as well. But, you know, we're going to be knocking on 95, 96 degrees with plenty of humidity. And it is, as she puts it, so miserable. It really is.
Exactly. So like in the spirit of the season, fall being here on Saturday officially, Redfin announced this week that there were 60,000 home deals that they called it turning into pumpkins overnight. Highest cancellation rate of homes listed that is documented as far as I could tell. It was only just 0.8% of homeowners listed their home in August, which is funny because we heard that August home listings were up 4%.
Right.
But yet they're reporting that all of these home listings were taken off the market, and with housing prices up 3% in August.
That 60,000 will certainly create a desert, won't it? I mean,
right.
In a time where we really truly need those listings to be out there and available. You know, it goes again to one of the many challenges that we're facing in today's environment. I think we're going to talk about Rome here in a little bit. I've got some thoughts about that, but, we need some help in the inventory, perspective for sure.
Yeah. And there's no easy answer. I mean, if there was one, it would have happened already. I mean, unless you got some insight you want to share with everybody today.
No, I mean, if I had that magic eight ball or magic wand, I'd be on the coast in Portugal right now retiring, because that would be something I could sell and market real well right now. But if anybody on the call does, man, please throw it up in the chat. We'll work with you together on that. So
Exactly. You have a bunch of willing partners that would be wanting to work with you if you have the answer to that one. Just wanted to do a mention on the call. I'm sure nobody missed this, but announced this week, Empower, new owner of Empower, has rebranded it to Dark Matter Technologies. They are someone who has been in our network. And I don't know if anybody or everybody saw the news. If anybody's on here from Dark Matter, I'm so curious, because I love marketing and branding and those things. So curious about where the name came from, because dark matter is a matter in the universe. It's called dark because it doesn't interact with the electromagnetic field, which means it doesn't absorb things. It doesn't reflect things. And it's very difficult to detect. So I'm very, very curious about Dark Matter Technologies and where the name generated from. So if anybody on this call, again, pop it in the chat if you're on the call. Would love to know more about how that came about and where it came from. But that did happen in the industry this week. And I think a lot of people have been looking at other options, to move things, and maybe with, you know, this finally being finalized, that will cause some people to make decisions about where, you know, they want to place their money and their LOS.
I don't think that it came to as a surprise to anybody that the regulators weren't going to allow ICE to acquire Empower and Optimal Blue, even for that matter. But Constellation, the brand that is Dark Matter, did kind of catch me off guard. And the only thing, because I saw that too, and I was like, you know, it's hard to detect. So are they suggesting that they're going to sneak up on their, you know, nemesis and come out with some stuff and give them a good run for their money? I don't know. But it you know, in all fairness, though, you know, like most of us, I've been on Encompass for a while. Prior to that, Calix, if you remember correctly, Calix was the Empower or the Encompass of the day. And it'll be interesting to see this division now if Empower really comes after them. And I hope for the innovation, because even if they never catch Encompass, innovation and upgrades in technology is better for all of us. So,
right. Quentin Newber, Dark Shadows Technology. I'm one of those 50 and plus people, so I can appreciate the humor in that. Yeah, I did go down the same path. It's like Constellation. Constellation bought them. So dark matter, because it's something, you know, related to out in the universe. I did go down the same path of sneak up on people. So that's very funny that you said that, because we hadn't talked about that. But I thought, oh, maybe that's the whole point of it. But I'm so curious. So someone enlighten me as you find out. And I'll tap into some people too within the network to hear that. Let's talk a little bit about interest rates. We all know they've went up, specific to adjustable rate mortgages. So in the past, I know when interest rates have ticked up, people have been very attractive to adjustable rate mortgages. I was a person that benefited greatly from one at one point in time, but other people did not have the knowledge, I think, to use that as a tool. And it hit some people very hard in certain times. So share with me kind of like, there hasn't been an adoption of ARMs as much as there were in the past. Maybe there aren't as many providers out there in the past. I'm sure there's a whole mix of things going on. But kind of share with me what you're seeing and what you're hearing from people that your team talks with related to fixed rates versus adjustables.
So I think based off of what I was hearing from the folks at the conference who are on the depository side, such as myself, most all of us from a portfolio lending perspective has transitioned to ARM products. Fixed rates aren't something that the banks are wanting to put on their balance sheet. So we're utilizing ARMs. And I think to your point, instead of utilizing money to buy down the rates, it makes sense to wait for the rates to hopefully normalize, right? And you would benefit from that ARM factor, and you're not having to pay out for the buy down. But outside of portfolio lenders, I am a little bit surprised that there hasn't been more streamlined or conforming ARMs out there. And I think, and I'd be interested to hear from the folks on the call, for us, we're just not finding a large benefit in providing an ARM to a customer from an investor perspective. I think that, you know, if the coupons were there and there was an availability to provide value to our customers and offering an ARM, we would certainly do that. And I think that the customers are open to those types of possibilities right now. There's just not that big of a difference between an ARM product and a 30-year or 15-year fixed to make it worth their while to roll the dice. So that's the biggest issue I have found. It's not that people aren't receptive this time around to ARMs. It's just there's not a benefit or value there.
No, because that's kind of what I was wondering. And obviously, you know, not at the street level anymore to hear those things. But I was wondering if people were a little bit gun shy because of things that happened like long ago with those types of products, if you weren't really well versed and educated in how to use them. Or whether it was just, it's a pricing issue then.
I think it truly is a pricing issue. I think we've done a good enough job since the 2008 deal to clean up credit quality and such, and educate customers that the ARMs aren't as scary as they once were. It's just there's not value there in the pricing.
Yeah. And Quentin, thanks for posting that in the chat. Appreciate that it's seen them used in the jumbo.
I would agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. In the jumbo environment. So that kind of makes sense. The dip down was down to 13.8% in the second quarter from 14.9%, but not significant, but still thought that the number was surprising to me in seeing, I thought there would be more of a percentage of utilization just kind of out of the gate.
Especially since rates have been holding as long as they have been, you'd think that, you know, people would start getting tired of it and move over. So I don't know.
I guess we'll see, because there doesn't seem to be a lot of thought process that we're heading the downward direction really quickly,
right, or
right away. So I guess we'll kind of see in that. So we're just talking about how things were in 2008 and those, you know, long ago. So some of you on the call, probably this does not even apply to, because you may not have been in. But I know some of you on the call have been in for a long period of time. So I want you to think back to like 15 years ago. And
Faith, can we take a time out for a second before we do that?
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm a big dad joke guy.
And
we're about to go down a rabbit hole of what happened in 2008. I thought we should lighten it up before we go down that rabbit hole, right? And so I have two jokes. I'll save one of them till the end. So one of them is kind of like towards my kids because it is a dad joke, and one of them is towards dating. So I'm going to let you pick. Which one would you like to hear first?
Let's save the dating one to the end and the fun kid one right now.
All right. So, and this is kind of appropriate since we're going to 2008. So, and again, keep in mind, it's because of my kids. So why could SpongeBob not obtain a mortgage?
You got me.
His house was underwater.
Oh, that is a good 2008 one.
And see, that is a dad joke that's appropriate to where we're going through, which is, you know, 2008. You know, that was part of the problem, right? We had, the credit wasn't really strong. We had, had subprime loans. Lehman Brothers was a perfect example of that. And what happened was a lot of folks found themselves underwater on these houses. So
sure.
Don't you think it's completely different today in this environment versus what happened in 2008?
Yeah. So what I wanted people to share in the chat, I mean, do you remember where you were in the mortgage industry when 15 years ago, when the Lehman collapse happened? Personally, I was in the appraisal space. Remember exactly where I was. Remember when it happened. We supported a lot of bank entities in my unit and supported a lot of BNC lender members. I had 8 in one building in Santa Ana that were clients. And I remember specifically when it happened, when it came out in the news. And, you know, we didn't have we had cell phones then, but not the news media like we have it now, or really quick and easy access to it. So I'm wondering if anybody else on the call, do you remember where you were at, if you were in mortgage or not in mortgage when that whole thing went down and servicing in default. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Thinking about purchasing your first house, getting ready to be out of college. Yeah. Oh, Amy was with a wholesale broker. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Painful to think about, but it is something that kind of has been like used as a benchmark for like where things were. Not necessarily a good one, but where things were and kind of like where they went after that. I see things from a certain view. I think the industry has changed quite dramatically, and we've had many things happen since that happened that kind of protect that from happening again. But also would love to hear feedback from anybody on the call and you, Russ, as well. It's like, I think our process is different. I think lender members are more cautious. You know, we obviously had Dodd-Frank after that point. The CFPB is involved because of that point in time. So just kind of love for you to, you know, share kind of how you see that and, you know, the things that you think that have happened that have been an impact in our industry since that period of time that maybe make things different this time around.
Well, and I see some of the recent comments too. And
loans.
I think for me, and looking back, the biggest difference is credit quality. I mean, there is polar opposite credit quality today versus in 2008. I see Paris put, 80-20s stated. I mean, I remember 80-20s, for those who don't remember those days, an 80% first lien, a 20% second lien, so 100% total financing, down to 580 credit scores. And, you know, we were bulking those up and doing whole loan trades at the time. And I remember holding those loans at the end of the month, and you'd have all of the various investors coming in going, hey, I need 5 more million or 10 more million or 15 more million to make my monthly allotment, and you'd have 3 or 4 people in there. And I'm like, well, what are you paying? You know, and it would be like a little mini bidding war in there. And they weren't concerned about the credit quality. They were concerned about putting the money on the books for their investors. And so for me, it all ties into that. And then today is completely different. And that credit quality is so tight and so good and so clean. There's nobody underwater. Even there's been a pullback, but and I'm speaking for Texas. Aaron and Austin may disagree with me a little bit, but in all fairness, they went up so fast that even pulling back, you know, everybody's still netting well down there. But you know, essentially, nobody's really underwater. Everybody's had great appreciation. The delinquencies in default. I mean, we're at an all-time low.
For delinquencies. Yeah, just announced today.
Was it announced today? I didn't see it.
It announced today that it continued to move downward. I don't remember what the percentage was, but it was like minuscule.
Right.
Compared to what it's run, you know, at times long ago.
Right. So I think I will say this, and I said this at the conference, and everybody that I spoke to in smaller groups agreed. I think today's environment is more difficult than even 2008. And I'm saying that from a North Texas perspective, because even though we did have some delinquencies and such in Texas, we still had so many people moving in that were looking at buying homes that I hesitate to say that we weren't impacted, because we were. And, you know, tons of friends lost jobs, and it was just a horrible time in our industry. And I'm appreciative of how far we've come to right the wrong. But from an origination standpoint, you didn't hear of anybody really going 30 or 40% less than they did the prior year. Whereas now, that's a constant theme.
Yeah. Navi, I hope it's Navi, and I'm not saying your name wrong. So I apologize if I do that out of the gate, but made the point of we're a lot more conservative now. Lender member portfolios are much better qualified. And I love the fact that you knew that you were in a car and you got a call and you distinctly remember that, you know, loans and rescission weren't going to be funded. Painful lesson learned, but I do love the fact that it's in your memory and you were sharing that with us. So appreciate you for sharing your comments there. So yeah, it's a different world. You know, we have ability to repay and all of those other things that in the NINA loan, I had an 80-10-10 at one point in time. You know, all of those things in our past haven't kind of recropped back up. Oh, Bob Hamilton, Fannie Mae called them expanded approval loans. Subprime loans with negative amortization. I don't remember that term, but appreciate you sharing that with us as well. I'm sure that resonates with some people that are on the call with us today.
They called them pick-a-pays. Do you remember that, Faith?
Oh, I do remember that term.
So, yeah, pick-a-pays. Or yes. Somebody said pay option arm, same thing.
Yeah. It was an interesting world back then. I got that with no pay stubs. No, I just had to state my income, move on. And it was a really good deal for me, but I knew what I was getting into. And I don't know as everybody knew. So, it worked well for me back in the day. I read something this week, it's like we're already like just a couple minutes left of time, but wanted to kind of share and see what the thought process was from the people that are on the call related to like assumable mortgage. So I read an article that there's a company called Roam, R-O-A-M, like move around, Roam, secured some seed funding that links home buyers to properties that have an outstanding assumable mortgage. And this was news to me. I'm always looking for that. What are people doing to try to change the environment? News to me. So just curious if, you know, anybody that's on the call had heard of this before, if anybody, you know, has seen the press related to that and has any information that they should share. Being assumable, I would assume part of the attraction to that is that, you know, those assumable loans may have a much lower interest rate, but set me straight if I'm not right.
So I saw this yesterday or day before yesterday, and actually hopped on their website, and it's a pretty interesting concept. I think a guy out of Fannie Mae actually is kind of overseeing the efforts.
It's Yeah, Tim Miopoulos, who used to be the CEO of Fannie. You're right. Yeah.
And so I think they're only in 5 or 6 states right now, but it's an interesting concept. I don't know where they're pulling the data from, but they're pulling the data from somewhere, and it pulls in all the houses with the recorded interest rates on it, right? So you can see, like, if I wanted to look at Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, it would pull all these loans in. And from what I remember reading, the company charges a 1% fee to the buyer. They help facilitate the whole transaction. They're looking for FHA and VA assumable loans. One little unknown fact that people may or may not know is that I don't have to be a veteran to assume a VA loan, actually. What happens is that because I'm not a veteran, it doesn't release their eligibility. But if I have the money to put down, then they can go buy another home without utilizing the VA eligibility and still have their equity. And what Rome has done is smart, is they partnered with a second lien lender. And so if you don't have the $100,000 or $150,000 or $200,000 to pay for the equity, they set you up then with this second lien lender. So then you get the first lien at the 2.5-3% interest rate, and then get the second lien. And at first I was like, well, you know, how does this impact our members with TMC? And this is what I've kind of thought through, and I'd love some insight, which is this is the how many times does your loan officer go out there and try to visit with real estate agents? And they go, well, I'm just the listing agent, right? So I'm no good to you because I deal with the sellers, not the buyers. I think this is a perfect opportunity for the loan officers to build those relationships with the listing agents of those homes that have the VA loans and say, hey, I can set you up with this company, partner you with this company to help facilitate a transaction, get everything out of your seller's name into the new buyer's name. All I'm asking for is an opportunity to visit with your seller because they're going to have to buy another house. So although we're not getting that one transaction, it does give us an opportunity to start cultivating relationships with a whole new set of folks that we've not been able to break through before because they've always used that I'm a listing agent mentality. Yeah. So I'd love feedback on it.
Well, you got a great point. And Navi, I really appreciate you being on the call today because you shared some great information in the chat for those that haven't participated. And he said that you nailed it as well. It's like you in situations like this, when you find a product like this, it's a little bit different. And maybe you don't see the instantaneous result
right of
that loan, but you become a trusted advisor for somebody that they know that you're paying attention to what's going on in the mortgage industry. You're looking out for their best interests and trying to promote their business, right, as well as securing your own. But I think it may be a good lead in. I agree with you. And we would love to hear more from the people that either are watching this with us today or are watching it after the fact. If you've got some good feedback on that, just make sure and shoot me over an email. We do post these on YouTube. We have as many people watch them on YouTube as we do that join in with us. We'd love to have you all join in with us every time we do this. And can't believe it. We're at the end, Russ.
All right. So are you going to give me a chance to tell you my last dad joke?
Yes, let's end that way. That's perfect.
Awesome. So why was the mortgage so clingy?
Why was the mortgage so clingy?
It didn't want to be alone.
Oh my gosh. So when Melissa Langdale sees this one, that was kind of her phrase when she was at Fidelity. She actually has a sign in her office right now. So you have just made her giggle, and that will be much appreciated along with the rest of us. I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed talking with you today. This has really been a lot of fun. You need to come back and do it again with me for sure. It's been a lot of fun. So yeah. Thank you for, you know, the good feedback that you shared and just being with us today and providing some, brighter times. Is there a payment?
No, entertainment. I provided some entertainment.
Who Ooh, I'm going to have to work on that one if there is. Entertainment. We love people that can find that silver lining, you know, in the things that are going on and entertain as well. So
the fact is we're in the best industry in the world. We help people. We solve problems. We promote the American dream. I mean, even in the toughest and darkest times, which we're certainly sharing together in, we do something that's meaningful and great. So we all should be very blessed and feel blessed that we do what we do and how we do it. So thanks for having me.
Couldn't agree more. That was a great place to end. Thanks everybody for joining us today. We're back here next week at the same time. Please do join us. And if there's anything that we can do to help you, please do reach out in the interim. Thank you so much, Russ. Appreciate you.
My pleasure.
For more information about how you can get involved with TMC Connect and witness the power of the network firsthand, please visit us at mortgagecollaborative.com.